Morning, today's daf in Baba Kama is daf Ches. Okay, for the month of June, it's easy. Whatever day of the month it is, that's the daf that we're on. Okay, it's of course, you don't know what day of the month it is, and then, okay, and then it becomes a problem. But, okay, at least for the month of June, we have a built-in reminder. Okay, today's daf Ches in Baba Kama. We are in daf Zayin Amud Beis and a continuation of yesterday's Gemara, where the Gemara is trying to resolve the following dilemma. On one hand, the Torah is very clear that when you do nezik, when you do damage, you have to make reimbursement, and you have to pay meitav sadeh be meitav karmo. You have to pay with property. You have to pay back with real estate. That is the way that the reimbursement works when you damage. On the other hand, there's another pasuk in the Torah, in the same parsha, Parshas Mishpatim, by the nezik of boar, where the Torah says yashiv, that you just simply need to make restitution, and you have to pay back in afilu subin, meaning the Torah doesn't say afilu subin, but the Gemara darshins that you can pay back even using bran. Any commodity that has a value, you're allowed to pay back. So, which one is it? Is it that you have to pay back with property, or do you have to pay back with subin? And just to support the question even a little bit stronger, even when you pay with property, the Torah is very clear. Meitav sadeh, umeitav karmo. You have to pay with the best of the land. So even by land, it's limited. It's not by any land. You have to pay with idus. You have to pay with the best land. So now, the steer is even stronger. Because on one hand, the Torah says you have to pay with property, but not even property. You have to pay with the best property. On the other hand, the Torah says, as long as you make restitution for that which you damage, as long as the value of that which you return is equivalent to the damage that you did, so that should be enough. That's called a steer. That's called a classic steer, and how to resolve that steer. Yesterday, the Gemara raised the question. Yesterday, the Gemara made a number of attempts of how to address this question. We went through a couple of attempts in the Gemara, and unsuccessful. Meaning, the Gemara negated the two suggestions that we saw yesterday. So we are in the Gemara now on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, and we're now going to be starting a third suggestion of the Gemara, Mikol Makom Kasha. Okay, Mikom Makom Kasha. It's the second narrow line before the lines get wide, and here is where the Gemara picks up now and offers another way to resolve this. Amar Rava called the Yavlei Mimetav Lesav Lei. So Rava gives the following suggestion. Look, maybe the key ingredient in the Torah in terms of reimbursement for any damage that you made is the word Metav. Meaning, Metav just simply means the best of. The best of what? Best of whatever. In other words, if you're going to pay back land, pay the best of the land. If you're going to pay back commodities, movables, the best of the movables. So when it comes to land, Meitav Sadeh. When it comes to the brand, your best brand. Okay. In other words, you got to go through the aisle, look at what costs the most, and that's what you have to return. So the Gemara says, "Vaha Meitav Sadeh Uksiv." That's very difficult. It's a very difficult shot. The Torah does not say the word Meitav, as Rashi over here points out. If the key ingredient is just simply the best of, the Torah could have said the word Meitav and should have said the word Meitav, and that's it. But the Torah then goes on to say, Meitav Sadehu, Meitav Karmo. Clearly the Torah is interested in property. So the Gemara quickly offers the third suggestion and quickly rejects the third suggestion, leaving us with only one more suggestion. Now you see the two dots on the horizon, so you know that this Gemara's discussion is going to come to an end very quickly. That's already a good hint. And furthermore, this is it. This is going to be the answer of the Gemara. Alek Yas Rapapav, the Rav Huna Berei, the Rav Yoshua. So a number of Amarim come in from the yeshiva, and they say, "Kol mili meitavu dilo mizdabin hacha mizdabin b'masa achrita." So he says, really, what we're interested in is liquidity. In other words, you want to reimburse the damaged party with something where, if it's money, that's great. And if it's a commodity, it's something which, generally speaking, has liquidity. You can take something and you can turn around and you can sell it. Okay, I know in the time of the Gemara they didn't have this thing called eBay, but it's pretty much proof positive that you could turn around and sell anything you want. However, labar me'ara. Well, however, that's not true regarding real estate. Regarding real estate, yes, it's a great investment. Yes, it's a fantastic asset. But no, it's not that liquid. In other words, you want to sell property, it takes time to sell property. So when it comes to property, what the Torah wants is the Torah wants meitav, so that there will be some liquidity in the property. So that in the event that you need to sell it, you can turn around, you can sell it quickly, because it is meitav sadeo. So basically now, what the fourth answer of the Gemara is, and this pretty much is the answer of the Gemara, is that what the Torah is really interested in is that the damaged party receives something where he could turn around and sell it quickly. So if it's a movable, no problem at all. That could be sold at any point in time. When it comes to property, so because property is not that fast in terms of its resale, so therefore you give meitav, so that way the property can be moved as well. That is the final suggestion of the Gemara. Gemara now discusses the following. We touched on this yesterday, but here the Gemara really discusses it straight on, point on, and that is as follows. Look, we know that there is a requirement that when you pay back with property for the damages that you've done, you have to pay back with the best property. Now, when we say the best property, does it mean your best property, or does it mean the best property? The grading is going to be done on a curve. And we've already touched on this point before. Yeah. But it's going to be relative to whom? Is it going to be relative to you? Or is it going to be relative to the entire world? In fact, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi really fleshes out both sides of this question. Look at Rashi. The Bishalohen Shaman. Rashi says, we are now grading your properties, the A property, the Itis, versus, let's for the purpose of illustration over here, let's just focus on A and C, meaning Itis and Zeboris, A and C. Right, obviously there's B in this property, there's B property, but well, let's just, right now, just illustrating this point. And Rashi writes the following. Look, let's say Rashi says, let's say your C property is objectively fantastic. Objectively, it's great. And if you want to compare it to the rest of the world, so as far as the rest of the world is concerned, it grades as an A. But for you, it's C property. So now, if we're saying that we're grading on a curve, and the curve is based on what you have, well, your C property is still your C property. And you have A property. So if we're grading on a curve relative to what you have, that's Bishalohen Shaman. So therefore, even though your C property is outstanding, but it's not your best. So therefore, you should give your A. On the other hand, let's take a look at the next Rashi. So, but if we're grading on a curve, but the curve is based on what is objectively, when I say objectively, I mean, because there's no objectivity over here. Objectively meaning we're grading based on what is the general presumed A quality, B quality, C quality. And if your C ranks, generally speaking, as A property, so that's fine. So then all you need to do is just give your C property, and that would be fine. Rashi says, since your C property is, generally speaking, greater than A, so therefore that's all you need to give. So we know that we're grading on a curve, but the question, of course, is that it's true whenever you curve. Are you curving relative to you, or are you curving relative to the world at large? This is a Gemara's question. It's a very basic question. Bishel.
This could go to the Gemara Rabbi Shmuel also.
So that's the next point of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Aliba de Rabbi Shmuel loti baylach damed b'dinizak shayminan." So the Gemara says, now according to Rabbi Shmuel, really the question doesn't even get off the ground, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, we're grading it based on the properties of the nizak, the one who was damaged. So as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, so we know that we want these lands to be best relative to what the Nizak has. So that goes without saying. Here's where the question really takes form, and that is according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, the Idis requirement is based on the Idis of the Mazik. And so now, my... So here the Gemara now formulates the question. So over here when it says Metav Sadeu, does it mean relative to the damaged or does it mean relative to the rest of the world? So basically the question is, how are we grading the property? Based on what he has or based on what the world in general views properties? So Amalei Rachmana Amar Metav Sadeo Va'atamar Bishal Olam Hein Shamim. So the answer, a very quick answer, and the answer is Metav Sadehu. Sounds that the Torah is saying the best of his land, meaning that we're grading on a curve, but specific to him, him versus the Nizak. Va'atamar Bishal Olam Hein Shamim. And how can you tell me that we really care about what the rest of the world views a property, as long as this land is, it is, it's the best, not objectively, not the way the world views it, but in other words, from his perspective, his best, the Torah says, Sadehu, so then that's what he has to give as far as reimbursement is concerned. So basically the answer is, how did you even raise this as a question? It sounds pretty clear from the Torah, it is relative to him, not relative to the rest of the world. Eisvei, the Gemara now challenges based on the following Braisa. The Braisa over here discusses the following scenario. Now, again, just a quick refresh of what we learned back in Masechet Gittin. Let's talk about now our different grades of property. It has been a Ziboris, A, B, and C. Okay, if I do damages, so I have to pay with property, assuming I pay with property, and I have to pay with A property. Okay, so Nizak is paid, I mean, Nizikin are paid with Idis. If I have standard obligations, loans, any basic account payables, so I have to pay with Beinonis. I have to pay with mid-grade properties, what I refer to as the B properties. And then Ksuvasisha, if there's in the event that a man has to pay the Ksuva for his wife, death or divorce, let's talk divorce right now. It's going to be the, we need the guy to be alive for the purpose of illustrating this case. So then he has to, so for Ksuvasisha, he can pay with Ziboris. Okay, the Gemara in Ksuvas went on to explain, Rashi over here quotes it, that the reason why Ksuvas Ishas pay with Ziboris, it is a debt, it's an obligation, but at the same time, however, the women don't need to be so incentivized to marry. Women, generally speaking, are hardwired to be married, so therefore they don't need the kind of incentive where I'm only going to get married if, in the event that of death or divorce, I get paid Beinonis. They're not that demanding. They're, you know, they'll be fine with Ziboris. That's what the Gemara Ksuvas says. So the Gemara, Ziboris. If I said Beinonis, I misspoke. Okay, now, so we're now, the Bryce over here is going to talk about a person who has a lot of obligations. So we're basically, what the Gemara is going to discuss is, so how are all those obligations going to be paid off? So the Bryce says, Eisvei ein lo ela idis, kulan govim in idis. So let's say this person, whenever he buys property, he only buys the best quality property, he only buys idis. And so therefore, when all these people come to him, right, the person that he damaged, the person that he owes money to, and the woman that he divorced, so all these people come to him, so if all he has is idis.
If he only has got one kind of property, how could you label it? Because it's all relative.
That's going to be the Gemara's question. It's good. You're headed in the right direction. So govim in a idis. So beinonis, kulan govim in beinonis. Now if all he has is beinonis, well that's the only property that he has. So that's the only thing they're going to collect. Ziboris, kulan govim in ziboris. And if all he has is ziboris, they're all collecting from ziboris. So in other words, the beginning of the price is really easy because if all he's got is one greater property, that's all they're going to be collecting from because what else has he got? Now, hayulo idis uveinonis, viziboris. So now here's where it gets fun. What if he has different grades of property? What if he has A, B, and C? So nizakim be'idus, abachol be'beinonis, suvasisha be'ziboris. So everyone gets what the chachamim demanded that they get. Chachamim Torah, meaning, you know, different points of obligation, but just let's keep it simple. So for the damaged part, he has to pay with the idus, for the obligations, for all of his account payables, he has to pay with beinonis, and for the divorced wife, he pays ziboris. Now, idus u'beinonis. Now, if let's say he has A and B properties, so nezakim be'idis. So, as far as the nezik is concerned, for the damages he pays with the best, he has to give off his A properties and bachov v'ksufasisha be'beinonis, and the obligations v'ksufasisha with beinonis. Now,
that doesn't make sense.
That does or doesn't?
It doesn't.
Why?
Because beinonis means Yiddish is in between. We only have two kinds here.
Yeah. Well, right, I understand that, but it's...
But that's the whole point of Bein Lezi. You can't have a Bein Lezi until there's only two kinds.
So, again, you're headed to the Gemara's question. You're headed to the Gemara's question.
Compared to the world.
But just right now, right now, let's just learn the Braisa Kipshuto. The Braisa Kipshuto is giving objective grades to the property.
Maybe you have to give better quality. So if you have a C quality, he's got to give this...
I understand. Let's right now, again, let's just keep it simple. And the simplicity of it is that there's an objective grading to the property, and so even though had he had C properties, he would have given his divorced wife C properties, but he doesn't have. So therefore, he gives her B. Now, Benus Vizibaris, now let's say he has B and C. So if he has B and C, Nezak and the Baal Chov Beinonis, so the Nezak and the Baal Chov is paid with Beinonis, and Ksuvah Zisha be Zibaris. And the Ksuvah Zisha goes with Zibaris. So far, so good. It's pretty straightforward. Now, it is with Zibaris. What if he has A and C? Okay, now it gets, I'd say, entertaining. None of this is fun, but for him, but for us, the casual observer, you know. So it is with Zibaris. If let's say now he has A and C property, so Nezak and Beidus. So now, the Nezek, the damages he pays with his A property, because that's what the Torah wants. Metav Sadeo. That's great. Balchov uksuvas isha b'ziboris. Now, the Balchov and the ksuvas isha. Now, ksuvas isha, that's the Iker Hadin, that she gets paid ziboris. The Balchov gets paid ziboris as well. Why does the Balchov get paid ziboris? Meaning, his account payable. Now, if he had Beninus, he'd have to pay Beninus, but he doesn't. He only has A and C. So why does the Balchov only get C? Why doesn't he get A? So Rashi over here points out, we have learned together that really, truth be told, is that the Torah, from the Torah perspective, if you have a Balchov, you only need to pay Beinonis. I'm sorry. Let me say that again. Let me say it correctly. If you have a Balchov, you only need to pay Ziboris. Really, that is the that's the Iker Hadin. That's the letter of the law that you only have to pay Ziboris for your obligations for your Balchov. However, the Chachamim, as we've discussed back in Masech Tegitin, the Chachamim want to incentivize lending. Right. They basically wanted to stimulate lending, right, to this very day. That's all you hear in the news. What can we do to stimulate lending? And so the Chachamim stimulated lending, and their stimulus package is that in order to make sure that lenders are going to lend money, they're going to get paid back with Beinonis. So even though, according to the strict letter of the law, you only need to pay Ziboris, but the Chachamim bumped it up to Beinonis. Here, our friend only has A and C, and he's got Nezek, Balchov, and Ksuvas Isha. So as far as the Nezek, you pay with A. But now, you have a Balchov and you have Ksuvas Isha, so they're both going to get paid with C. Ksuvas Isha, we understand. Balchov, because we're going to go now to the Iker Hadin. Since the Iker Hadin Manator is to pay with Ziboris, so therefore the Balchov is going to get paid with Ziboris.
Does he have any A left after he says that the Nezek is on Nezek?
Let's assume even yes. Doesn't matter.
Because if he does, then it's based on his relative. To
again, you're going to the place where the Gemara is going to. Just be patient on it. Okay. Now, Ksuvas Isha b'Ziboris Ketani Mia. That is the Braisa in its totality. So good. So the Braisa deals with all these scenarios in which he has various obligations, various great properties, and we basically went through every permutation of what would be the case in which he had only A, only B, only C. If he had A and B, if he had B and C, if he had A and C, we went through every permutation. However, what came out from this entire discussion in the Braisa? We are now on the top of Ches Amud Aleph, and the Gemara goes on to discuss. Ketani Mia, Metzia Bebeinonis, Viziboris Nizakin, and Balchov Bebeinonis. Ksuvas Isha Viziboris. One of the things that was mentioned in the Braisa is that if he has Beinonis Viziboris, if he has B and C, so Nizak and Balchov Beinonis, so the Nezek and the Balchov comes from Beinonis, and Ksuvas Isha Viziboris. E amart b'shaloh hein shaman. Now, if grading is done on a curve, if the grading of properties is done on a curve, and when we say a curve, we mean relative to what he has, tasa beinonis shaloh ki'idis. So now, his beinonis should immediately jump up to becoming an idis. Because if all he has is B and C, his B is his best property. It's his best. Now, v'yidcha b'achov etzol ziboris. And so now when he turns to the Balchov and he says to Balchov, look, I know I owe you money. And I know generally you collect from Beinonis. But look, we're grading on a curve. My B is my best property that I have. So from this point going forward, you know what we're going to call my B? We're going to call my B A, because that's really, from my standpoint, that's what it is. And so therefore, the nezek I'll pay with A. So for any damages that I did, I'll pay with A.
Yeah.
But you're not getting my A property. You're going to get my C property, because my B is my A. So the Gemara says, so it's pretty clear from the Braisa that the grading over here is done objectively and not subjective to what he has. Okay? So how come am I skinning? So the Gemara is...
And that question, I really don't understand the grading. Is the grading done based on like market value, or is it his value or his property?
But we're not talking about appraisals. We're not talking about we're saying the quality.
But quality versus all
when is
the
good
land
to plant and what is bad?
Only the land he has.
That's exactly the Gemara's question. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, "Hachabah ma'iskinan kigon sha'isolo idis umachra." So the Gemara says, "Okay." The question is such a strong question. Basically, what the Gemara says is, I don't know what to tell you other than we're going to have to give an ukimta. We're going to have to give a scenario within the Braisa. And the scenario is going to be where he did have a property. So in other words, there basically is a missing A. There was A, B, and C. At the time where all these obligations were incurred, he had A, B, and C. And what did he do? He sold off the A. Now, hachinami mistabra. Now, he sold off the A property. Now, here's the general rule. We're going to be saying this a number of times today. And that is that when you go after your collections, and you go after the person who owes you the money, you can only collect from the mortgage properties, from the encumbered properties, only when the person himself has nothing left on him. But if he has any properties left on him, you cannot go after the buyers. So he had A. He sold off the A. So now all he has left is B and C. Now the question was, well, if we're grading on a curve and the grading is done subjective to what he has, why isn't his B A? The answer is because he had A. That's the answer. So the Gemara says umachra. So hachinami mistab. The Gemara says, and this answer is a logical answer. Midiktani achrita benin is vizibaros nizikim benin zebachov uksavasisha bezibaros. Because look, in the very same brisa that we learned together, we discussed the case where he had B and C. So the nizakin quotes from the benin zebachov uksavasisha is from the zibaros. Sorry, this is not the same brisa. I apologize. I misspoke. This is a different brisa. In this different brisa, what just happened in this brisa, he had B and C, so the nezek comes from the B, and the bachov and the ksuvas isha are coming from the C. Now wait one second. In the brisa that we learned together at the beginning of today's shiur, so the bachov was paid from B. In this brisa, the bachov is paid from C. Why should that be? So obviously this brisa that we just learned together is contradicting the brisa that we learned at the beginning of today's shiur. So the answer seems to be pretty straightforward. In the first brisa that we learned this morning, there was A, B, and C. He sold off A, but the reason why the B is viewed as a B and it doesn't get jumped up to an A is because he had an A. So that's why there's an A and there's a B and there's a C. And so therefore, when all these people, just give me a moment, when all these people come and collect, the nezek is going to be paid from the B because he's got nothing better than that. The bachov is going to be paid from the B because once upon a time he had A, and the ksuvas isha is going to be paid from the C. That's brisa number one. Brisa number two is going to be talking about a scenario where he never had A. In other words, from the time that the obligations were incurred, he only had B and C. So therefore, as far as the nezek is concerned, he pays with B, but his B is A, because let's assume we're grading on a curve and relative to what he had. His B is his best property. Now the B is his best property, so what's C? C now is the one below his best property. That's why the C is going to be, is what he's going to use to pay off the Bachov, Suvas Isha. E by same, and now the Gemara says like this. Now,
the C
effectively becomes a B.
It takes care of
his obligations. Takes care of Ksuvas Isha. Now, E by same, David Ishlo Aisalo Idis. Now, this next point of the Gemara is as follows. Look, up until this point in time, we've been assuming that we're trying to defend the position that when we grade, we're grading on a curve. And there's no objective grading. That's what we're trying to defend. The Gemara is now suggesting that maybe not. And the Gemara says, Ibai Sema usually introduces a new answer, but as Rashi points out over here, doesn't even seem like Rashi had the words of the Gemara, Ibai Sema, but basically this is the Gemara now looking at the stira between the two brises and basically saying you can give an entirely different approach to these two brises. Really, the truth of the matter is there was no A property to talk about. None. And we could still look at these two brises and we could still resolve the two brises in the following manner. So the Gemara says, and it's just a question now of how his Beinonis looks. Is the Beinonis as good as the general A, or is the Beinonis really just Beinonis? So, and that could be the resolution of these two brises. Or the Gemara says that really his B property is objectively a B property. And it really could be that the resolution between these two brises is a very simple question of how do these properties get graded? Are they graded relative to what he has, or are they objectively graded? Okay, so basically we have two brises describing a scenario in which this person who owes Nezik, Balichov, and Ksuvas Isha, and he only has B and C. So who gets paid from what? So brisa number one says that the Nezik and the Balichov gets paid from B, and that the Bali and the Ksuvas Isha gets paid from C. Brisa number two says that the Nezik gets paid from B, and Balichov and Ksuvas Isha gets paid from C. And what the Gemara now has presented is three different ways to try to resolve this machlokus between these two brises. Ravina Amar Bedu'ula Pligi. And if three was not enough, the Gemara is going to give one more explanation in terms of how to resolve these two brises. Maybe what they're arguing is within the statement of Ula, the Amar Ula, Dvar Torah Balichov B'Ziboris. Ula's of the opinion that the Balichov gets paid with Ziboris. I know I mentioned this earlier, but this is the source. This is Ula telling us, teaching us, that really Min HaTorah, when you have an obligation, you only need to pay from Ziboris. How do I know that? Shenemar b'chutz tamor v'isha sher atano sheh bo yotzi alecha es ha'avot ha'chutzah. The Torah over here describes where you have a lender and he's knocking on the door of the borrower and he's saying, hi, good morning, how are you? Probably those pleasantries were not exchanged between him and the person. Probably was much more to the point of, I would like my money back right now. Right, you owe me the money, it's past due, let's go. And so the Torah describes where there is a collateral that's going to be exchanged. And in the event that there's a default, so then the lender is able to keep the collateral. But the Torah is very clear that when the person is standing outside, the lender cannot come into the house and take what he wants. What he basically will have to do is he'll have to receive the collateral that's given to him by the borrower. So the borrower now, the Torah describes, is basically given the option of, you can take whatever you want in your house and present it to the lender who's standing outside. And now, if you're following my picture that I'm painting, what do you think the borrower is going to be giving to the lender who's standing outside? So the Gemara says, "Ma darko shal adam lahotzi lachutz pachos shebekelim." So now he's looking around his house and he's thinking to himself, well, "What am I going to be giving the lender?" So don't think bad of yourself if you're thinking, I'm going to give him the cheapest thing I own. The Gemara says we're all hardwired to do that. It is dark kushal adam. It is the way of the world. It's just human nature that you're going to be giving the most inferior thing that you own. So that is Ula's description of how we know from the Torah that when you have an obligation to pay your chov, you only need to give the worst. Now, as Tosus over here points out, we're a little bit off from where the point we're trying to make, because we're trying to make the point regarding properties. Now, over here in this description, we're not talking about properties; we're talking about metaltalin, we're talking about movables. And as Tosus points out, we discussed in the beginning of this morning's shiur, when it comes to movables. Movables are wonderful because there's a liquidity that's built into all movables. So the truth of the matter is that, and Tosus makes this point. This is not me. It's not an original thought. Tosus points out that we're going to have to somehow make the jump from the discussion of the Torah, which is talking about movables, to our discussion, which is regarding properties. Okay. I raised it as an issue. But let's go on. So this is Ula's statement that when you pay off your chovos, you only need to pay with ziboris. Now, umatam amr b'chov b'benis, k'deish lo tino delas b'fnei lovin. So here the Gemara's classic comment of, well, the Chachamim upgraded it to b'enis, because if the Chachamim didn't do that, there would be no incentive to lend money. I'm only going to get reimbursed with the most inferior of land. You know what? I'll keep my money. I know you need it. I know lending is a mitzvah, but if all I'm going to get paid back is with C, I'll just simply politely decline and not lend the money. So basically, there needs to be an incentive to lend. So the incentive to lend is that you're not going to get the worst, you're going to get mid-grade property. That is a takana de rabbanan to bump it up to mid-grade property. Now, mar isle takanta de ula, mar lesle takanta de ula. And now, as a fourth way of explaining the discrepancy between Bryson number one and Bryson number two, it's just a simple question of whether or not you subscribe to ula's position. In Bryson number one, you do. In Bryson number two, you don't. So in Bryson number one, where it says, when you have B and C, where does the Balchov get paid from? So it says B, because Bryson number one subscribes to Ula's position. Bryson number two, that says that when you have a Balchov, you pay him with C and not with B, it's because Bryson number two doesn't subscribe to Ula's position. We're in Chesam and Alf, we're at the two dots, a little bit more than halfway down in the Amud Tanu Rabbanan. Let's say you're selling off properties to either one person or to three people. And you sold off all your properties. So now you, the seller, who, as we're going to discuss in just a moment, you got many debts that you yourself need to settle, but you no longer have your properties. Now, the properties are all encumbered towards that obligation that you have. There's a mortgage on all these properties. So, but you yourself right now don't have any of these properties, and they're all sold. Now, they're either sold to one person or sold on three people, and they're all sold on the same day. Now, we know, generally speaking, that when you are trying to recover any outstanding loan, and the borrower doesn't have any money, so you know that, basically, you follow the dates in which they're sold off. So, in other words, the property that is sold off first is the safest, the property sold off second, property sold off third. Basically, whatever was left last on the seller's person is the one that you can go after. Any properties that were sold off before that point in time are safer and safer the earlier that they were sold off. Okay. We are describing a scenario in which all these properties were sold on the same day. The only thing that's stamped on the documents are the date, not the time. So as far as time of day is concerned, so we only look at the day in which it was sold. And if they're all sold on the same day, regardless of what time of day was sold, they're all viewed as equal. Okay? Those are the assumptions going into this. Let's begin. So Machalachar L'Shoshim Ne'adam, he sold it to one person, he sold all of his property to one person. Rashi over here describes different times during the day, but it was all on the same day. Or Shlosha B'nei Adam, or three different people. Ke'echad, Kulam Nichnasu Tachas Abalim. So therefore, they take on the persona of the original owner. B'zeh Acher Zeh, Kulam Govin Min Acheron. Now, but what if they're sold on different days? So then, the last one that was sold is the one that is subject to being collected from first. Ein Lo Govin Mishlofanov. Now, if there is nothing left on the last one that was sold, you go to the one that was sold prior to that. Ein lo gova mishlefnei panav. Now, if there's nothing left with that one, you go to the one that was sold before that. Machron le. Okay, fine. Period. Adkan. So it's a simple question of the lender's ability to collect his loans in the event of a default when the borrower has no properties left by him. He sold off the properties. And what we did is we made a basic distinction between him selling off all of his properties on one day versus selling off the properties on different days. So far, so good. Very straightforward.
One way to say the edus was meshubah to the person who
Wait. Okay, I'm just gonna ask you to wait. Be patient, because we're heading down that road. Now, if you sold it to one person, exactly what are we talking about? Now, ilema bavasachas. Are we talking about selling all your properties to one person in one single day? Now consider, because the Braisa talked about selling it to three different people. You clearly didn't sell it to three different people simultaneously. You clearly sold it to three people, even if it's in the same day, but it was certainly in succession. So now, machron la'echa mibaye. So really, the case of selling it to one person is not a chiddush at all. Because if I sell to three different people, and I sold all on the same day, and we view that as a simultaneous sale, if I sold it to one person on the same day, that's certainly viewed as a simultaneous sale. Ela pshita b'zeh achar zeh. So the Gemara says it must be one after the other. So the Gemara says, so now I'm not quite following. In the case where he sold off the property to three different people, and it was all stamped on the same day, none of them have the right to say, well, don't come after me because I bought in the afternoon. Right, I bought in the morning. Okay, thank you. I bought in the morning. Don't come after me. Go after the person who bought in the afternoon. And then you go to the next person. I bought early afternoon. Don't come after me. Go after the next guy who bought in late afternoon. And we don't say that. So what basically the Gemara is wondering is, well, if we're not going to say that by three people, we're for sure not going to say that by one person. So hachabam ha'iskin and kigon. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, basically, we're scratching our head and wondering, where is the chiddush that lies in this braisa? Because the braisa is obviously trying to communicate something to us. What is it trying to communicate? So the Gemara says, kigon, the shalakach idis ba'achrona. So the Gemara says, what was the last thing that was sold off? Or what was the last thing that was bought? The last property that bought was the Idis. And I kind of understand that, meaning that this guy is obviously distressed, and he's obviously needing to sell off his properties, and basically, he's holding on to the best for last, but at that point in time, he couldn't even hold on to that. He sold it off as well. Okay. So the last thing that he sold is Idis. See, Hachi, Leiso Kula Veligbo Me Idis. So the Gemara says, so, we're describing now a scenario in which the last thing was the last thing that was sold off was the Idis. And so now the Gemara wonders, well, if that's true, well, let's think about this. So, he sold off his C properties, he sold off his B properties, but all the while, he had only A properties. So now, if all he had is A properties, so if we were to stop, at that very moment in time, so when all these people come over to him, so he cannot divert them to the people that he sold them off. Because again, the rule is very simple. You cannot send people to encumbered properties when you have properties on hand. And even though what you have on hand is it doesn't matter. That's what you have on hand right now. That's what they're going to be collecting from. And we're protecting the buyers because he's got property on hand. Now he sells off the Idis. Okay, now.
Before they come together.
Right, before collection. Now he sells off the Idis. So now, the Gemara is basically wondering, well, a moment ago, the only thing that all these collectors can collect from is the Idis. So when he sells the Idis off last, so essentially,
go after that also?
The only thing that should be able to go after is the Idis. Because that's the last thing that he had on hand. That's the Gemara's question. Ihachi leisukula veligbe meidus mishum de amar lehu. So the Gemara says, well, here's the argument that's going to be made by the third buyer who bought the idis, and he'll say the following: ishat kisu v'shakisu kidinaychu shakisu. So he says to them, look, you know what? And again, we're describing just to be clear, we're describing one person who bought all three properties. Okay, not the three different people. We're describing the one person who bought all three properties, and we're explaining what the chiddush and the braisa is. So he looks at all the people that are coming after him: the one who was damaged, the one who was the outstanding obligations and the ksuvah tisha. Although the truth of the matter is, let's make it even simpler. Let's say that the people that are coming after him are just simply the creditors. Let's keep it simple. The creditors are coming after him, and he has idis ben ziboris, all bought from the same person, and the last thing that he bought was idis. So again, what we're doing is constructing an argument. Well, if the last thing that he bought was idis, so shouldn't that be the thing they're coming after? So here's what he's going to say back to them, this is the argument that he can make. Look, I understand the properties are mortgaged. I understand there's an encumbrance on the property, but you're not taking the idis. And I'll tell you why you're not taking the idis. Because right now, at this point in time, if you are satisfied with the maintenance which I'm going to give you, that's fine. And if you're not satisfied with the maintenance that I'm going to give you, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take these properties, I'm going to sell them back to the seller. And then you're going to have to go back after him. And then when you go back after him, you're not going to be able to collect the idis. You can, what? I'll tell you what, I'll be even more frank with you. If you want to make more of an issue of this, I'm going to sell back the Ziboris only, and then you're going to be stuck only with the Ziboris. Right. So at this point in time, basically, even he's holding all three properties A, B, and C, and he's saying now to the creditor, I know you have a mortgage. I know you're able to collect, but don't come after me for the idis, because if you do, I'll just simply hand all this back to the seller. So here the Gemara. Let me just read this inside. So the Gemara says, "Damalu ishat kisu v'shakisu kedinaychu shakisu." If you take what you're supposed to take, which meaning the benefits, that's fine. Below, madronashtana dizibars lamare v'shakisu kuchu mizibars. Otherwise, I'll just give the zibars back to the original seller, meaning your borrower, and then all you're going to have is zibars. Ihachi. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear that argument, but now it's such a compelling argument. Bin zaken nami ne'emahachi. So the Gemara says, okay, but now we're going to make this a little bit more complicated. Now let's say that the damaged person comes to him and says to him, "Hi, I was damaged.
I want idis.
Right, give me my idis." So now, can't this buyer who bought all three properties, can't he make the exact same argument to him? Yeah. Look, I'll tell you what. You want bainanus? That's great. But if you continue on this path, I'm going to take the Ziboris, I'm going to give it back to the seller, I'm going to sell back to the seller, and then all you're going to be able to collect after, go after, is just the Ziboris. So the Gemara says, that's an excellent point. And in fact, it's such an excellent point that we're going to really have to reassess this entire Braisa, and now we're going to have to say a new pshat in the Braisa. And now it's going to get just a little bit more complicated. Elahachib and Maiskin, and we're on the very top of Chesam and Beis. So the Gemara says over here, Biyasme. And as Rashi over here explains, we're talking about the following scenario. Again, let's just paint the picture. We have a guy who is really indebted. He owes Nezek, and he owes Chov, and he owes Ksuvasisha. Okay. And he has all the properties, and he's got A, B, and C property. And he sold it, and let's just say that he sold it to one guy. Okay. Now, he sold all these properties to one guy. So again, this one guy who all these people are coming after, because he's got all the properties, and right now, the original, the borrower himself, he's got no properties left by him. So they're all coming now after this guy with all of his properties. And again, now we're making a very good point, which is his argument could be, take what you're supposed to take, and if you're demanding to take the idis, even though that was the last thing I bought, I'm going to give the ziboris right back to the seller. And now what? And now what are you going to do? Fine. Now what the Gemara is saying is, the reason why that no longer becomes an option is because we're talking about a case where the borrower died.
Right.
And now what he have is, he has only children and an estate.
And that's an obligation.
Now let's follow. Children do not have to pay their father's obligations. The only thing that needs to pay for the father's obligation is only the estate, and specifically the properties. only properties have to pay. The mortgage is in the property. The mortgage is not. The children themselves don't have recourse against these outstanding loans. So therefore, the Gemara says, "Hachem b'mayiskinan b'yasme." The lav mene piron inhu. They don't have to pay back the loans. V'shibud delay ala didei ramya. So now, where is all these payments going to come from?
Buyer.
It's only going to come from the buyer. Mm-hmm. Now, hilkach leik lamemar hachi. So the Gemara says, now at this point in time, cannot say, don't you dare come after me because I'm going to give him back to the seller. There's no seller to give it back to. And now, and by the way, as Rashi over here points out, why not sell them back to the children? That's correct. That's a new acquisition, and they don't have to pay back from the lands that they bought. So Ella Mishum de Amarlu Time Amai Amar Rabbanan Ein Afarim Nechas Meshubadim B'Makom Sheish Bnei Chorin. So the Gemara says now what we're going to do over here is we're going to provide a new argument, because let's consider when you have buyers buying properties. So what do we say? We say that the first one who buys is in the safest position. Because I made sure when I bought properties, I know that guy is a bit of a deadbeat. And I know that guy has a lot of obligations. But when I bought a property, I made sure that he had other properties on hand so that in the event that he defaults on any of his obligations, they're going to collect from whatever property is left by him. Fine. And now, that's the general idea of the first one who buys in the safest position. The Gemara describes that as a takana, meaning that's a rabbinic institution. And the Gemara says, "Mishum takanta didi, ana bahatakanta lo nichali." So now, this one buyer who bought all the properties, the A and the B and the C, so he says, "Look, you know, I know the last property I bought was an A. And I know that the only thing that he can come after me and try to collect is the A, because that's the last property that I bought. But the reason why that's so is because of a rabbinic institution. You know, and it was there to protect the buyer. I'm going to decline the rabbinic institution. And under certain circumstances, you have the right to decline rabbinic institutions. In this particular case, the rabbinic institution was made for my benefit. Now it comes out that it's not serving me, so now I have the right to decline. And the Gemara gives another example where we find this.
Can you explain how that works? I'm sorry, I'm getting lost.
I know.
How does the rabbinic institution protect them?
Okay, so let's go over it one more time.
Okay,
it's fine. I know. Generally speaking, the way the takana works is as follows. Whenever I buy property from a person, so if I buy property leaving some property still by him, so the rabbinic institution is such where any of the creditors cannot come after me because there are still properties left on the person. That is a takana derabbanan. So in other words, and it doesn't matter which grade I buy. It doesn't matter.
Right.
In other words, as long as he has B'nai Chorin still on hand, as long as he has properties on hand, creditors can never come after me. I am protected.
No matter how much he owes, even if it's...
No, if it was more than the
property. If it's more than what the properties that he has, so then he's gonna come after me.
Does the seller have to disclose that type of stuff? Is that something?
There is generally a principle in the Gemara of buyer beware, especially when it comes to property. Okay. Or not specifically when it comes to property. Okay. Anyway, so that's a takana derabbanan. Now, in this particular case, it happens to be that the person who bought the first property is the same person who bought the second property, the same person who bought the third property. And so now it comes out now that one person bought all three properties. And the last property that he bought happens to have been Idis. It was an A property, the last one that he bought. Which means now, in theory, along can come the creditor and say, well, I'm coming after the A property because that's the last property that was bought. To which now the buyer is going to say to the creditor, no, don't you dare. Remember, the only reason why you think you can come after the A property is because, well, that was the last one left by the owner. But that's only the reason why the Chachamim did that is basically to protect the buyer. In this particular case, it's not protecting me. It's hurting me. Because I want you to go after an earlier purchased property because it's an inferior quality property. So that's what he's basically declining. he's declining this rabbinic protection that was given, this rabbinic institution, because it doesn't help him, it only hurts him. The Gemara says, and I'll just give you, the Gemara says, I'm just going to give you another example where we find this, where a person has a right to decline a rabbinic institution that was only instituted for his benefit. So the Gemara says, here's another example. A person can decline a rabbinic takana. And limited examples. Here's another limited example. Look, we know that in a marriage, there is a reciprocity that's created between husband and wife. A husband has many obligations towards his wife, and in reciprocity, a wife has obligations towards her husband. Her earnings are instituted, rabbinically instituted, to go to her husband. And in exchange for that, she's going to get support, food, from her husband to her. If, let's say, she has a great skill and great earning potential, and she turns to her husband and she says, look, I appreciate the fact that you're ready to support and feed me. Happens to be, however, I have a well-paying job. So I'll tell you what, keep your food, I'll keep my earnings, and she could do that. Why? Because the takana that she is going to get supported and her earnings are going to go to her husband was made for her benefit, and she has the right to decline. Here as well, when the buyer is buying all these properties, and the last property he bought was Idis from one seller, and now comes the creditors, he'll say to the creditors, look, I know there was a rabbinic institution that you're coming after the last property that was sold, but that rabbinic institution was made on my behalf. I'm declining. I don't want you to come after the Idis. I want you to come after a property that was sold earlier. Happens to be, I'm the buyer of that earlier sold property. So you'll come after the B, you'll come after the C, but you're not coming after the A. I'm declining the rabbinic protection.
But if we're talking not about your son, man, why can you say, I'm just going to give back the Zibula to the...
Because
can you say that?
Because they're giving
it to go through this whole thing. I'm going to give back the bullets, so now you can collect from me.
Because they're orphans.
There's nobody to give it back to.
No, we're not talking about your son in this case.
No, in this case we are.
No, because it didn't work out for this son.
No, it did. That was the Gemara's answer. The Gemara says, "Biyasme the law b'nei." No. The Gemara. This answer.
You're talking about your son.
Yes. Yes, yeah, look at Rashi. It's very clear from the Gemara that we're talking about Yisomim. Right. Okay, let's quickly recap. We'll stop over here. Let's quickly recap what we saw today. Okay, we finished the discussion on the Gemara of how to resolve the discrepancy between Meitav Sadeo versus Yashiv. And the Gemara's answer basically is it's a function of liquidity. I want to pay something back. I don't want to pay. I didn't want to damage to begin with. But I have to pay something back where the damaged party can turn around and sell it at any point in time. So if it's immovable, no problem. If it's a property, that's why the Torah demands Meitav. Okay, so that is that's what we finished off from yesterday's daf. The Gemara's discussion today is that when we grade properties, we know that there are three grades of properties, A, B, and C, and it's Bena Ziboris. And this grading is an objective grading, or is it subjective to whatever else he has? The Gemara says, that's the Machlokas. We defended both positions. The Gemara did not come out strongly on either side of that question. And then, where we finished off today, today's daf, is a discussion in the Gemara regarding various grades property, how they are, if in the event that they're sold off, who can the creditors go after? Basically, the general rule of thumb is creditors can go only after the last property that was sold, and this is a means of protecting the former buyers, the original buyers of the earlier properties. However, the last thing we discussed is that there are going to be scenarios in which person who bought the last property can say, look, I'm declining the rabbinic institution. I don't want you coming after the last property. The case is a very specific case, but I don't want you coming after the last property. I'd much prefer you come after some of the earlier properties. Remember, all this was a means of protecting me. I'm declining that rabbinic protection. And the Gemara gives another example where we find that case as well.